Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
And welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I am your host, Joaquin Watai. You're listening to the Service Dog Show on WDVR, DVRadio.net. And I need to let you know that there are other shows on DV Radio besides mine. One in particular I'd like to point out today, check out Up in Arms. It is syndicated only on DVRadio.net. You can listen to their podcast on Podbean by searching Up in Arms or search Up in Arms on Facebook and Twitter. This week on the Service Dog Show, I'm with my friend Michael Novak. Mike is one of the founders of Paws for Our Patriots in the Tacoma, Washington area. Mike, how are you today?
Morning, Joaquin. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. First, just a little background. I was able to help connect you with your service dog. How's Decker doing?
He is fabulous. He's just short, too much short of being 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And ready for his public access. We're working strongly now on my mobility, and he is everything that we expected him to be when we received him at 4 months. He's really turned into to quite the dog for me.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. And you decided after the program that you got Decker from, kind of due to degrading health, fell apart, you decided that you needed to take some action to fill a gap. So you started Paws for Our Patriots. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we stepped forward. The organization that I had received Decker from, the director had gotten really ill and was unable to continue on. So what we did is we had 5 local folks that had received dogs from him. And we stepped forward to create an environment where we could have weekly training classes and provide locally. When I say locally, we're doing the Northwest area, but provide locally for veterans in need. And my wife was instrumental and Carrie was instrumental in getting us to step forward and do this, because she's seen directly firsthand what Decker's done for me and the potential of doing this for other folks is what our driving factor was.
Okay, and talk to me a little bit about the process of starting up a 501c, and tell me a little bit about your 501c, because it is not a 501c3. It's something that I've never heard about. So tell me a little bit about that.
Sure, we're put in for our designation letter as a 501c19. And the difference in classification with that is it's still an NPO, a nonprofit organization, and it allows us to operate under a veteran status. So 85% of our organization members have to be veterans or spouses of veterans or direct children of veterans. So currently right now we're all veterans, and we have one spouse involved and we have a child involved. So a child of a veteran involved as well. So basically, if you think of an organization like VFW or American Legion, that's the kind of organization that would be a 501c19. And the reason we drove for that was there's some more benefits to us as veterans in status as well as in funding as an NPO under the 19 than there is just the 501c3.
Excellent, excellent. And speaking of funding, I noticed you guys are doing a concert.
We are. We have a fundraising event. So as an NPO, this is how we source our funding for our program, which is the training, the education portion, and then as well as some of the basic simpler needs for the dogs. But June 9th in Yelm, Washington at Dogger's Place, and it's 404 First Street South in Yelm, Washington. What we're having is raffles and silent auctions, as well as we're having a discussion about PTS dogs, what they can do for us, what it looks like for us, and some of the information from organizations such as NAMI, some of the new information as far as coming out of the veterans' angle, what the VA is saying about their dog programs and their placement as well. So we have live bands that will be there, some great local food. We'll have dogs on site as well as a lot of raffle stuff.
That's fantastic. Now, this will actually air after, but the reason I brought it up is because we have a lot of people who listen to the show who are part of nonprofits, and I want to share ideas. This show is about service dogs, yes, but it's also about veterans, and it's about helping veterans. So I kind of wanted to get, you know, what you guys are doing for fundraising for your nonprofit in order to kind of help give some ideas to some of our other listeners if they're so inclined to do something similar.
Yeah, we've stepped forward in kind of a different arena. We've went from quarterly fundraising, which is a quarterly event, mm-hmm. to having, you know, once a month or every 2 months, a smaller event with a bigger venue so we can get the people in there that we need to have. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all about working in partnership and in tandem with, you know, programs that are out in our area. I think the more information we can get out there and the more communication between the different NPOs and between the different programs, it ends up better for all of us. Teamwork together, you know, everyone achieves more. And if we look at, we had done a resources fair 2 months ago now here in Tacoma at the Dome, and that really went well for us. We got a chance to get out there and meet some of the other programs, discuss what we're doing. We're selling leashes, we're selling collars, we've got a veteran program that is hand-making paracord bracelets and leashes for us and donating them so that we can put them out there for donation. And some of the things that we do is a little bit obscure and guerrilla, but it works well when we talk with other folks and are like, wow, I've never thought of that idea.
Tell me a little bit about the atmosphere where you're at in regards to just getting together and putting together something like this for veterans.
Well, we're really receptive. We're right off of JBLM, which is Fort Lewis, and then McCord. So we're in a pretty military-friendly district. We have active duty in our program as well as veterans, which is unique for us. You know, we've never stepped forward into the realm of active duty. But for us, it's worked out well. We've been able to present a program that allows them to work with us mm-hmm. without necessarily endangering a career that they have ongoing. And the community has stepped forward 110%. I mean, everybody from the veterans or the VFW, American Legion, Paralyzed Veterans of America, these groups have really stepped forward and wanted us to come in and talk to them, tell them what we're doing and how they can get their folks involved. To include CVMA is doing a run at the end of the month for us, a PTSD run where the proceeds will come back to Pause for Patriots. So our community has really stepped forward and is in not just supporting us, but getting the word out there so that we can get others involved in the program.
That's fantastic. Tell me a little bit about the actual training. Tell me about your program and what you're doing with the dogs.
Well, we're trying a new approach to this. We're using rescues that are going through a foster system program and then being recommended out to us from several different agencies in the area. Once we get the dogs, it gives us a chance to take a look at them and see placement. You know, one of the big things that has always been at the forefront is it's, you know, whether it's a mini Chihuahua or, you know, a Great Pyrenees, the breed of the dog isn't nearly as big as the heart of the dog and that match and that bond that you get initially. So if we end up with a younger dog, then we wait for that bonding period to happen before we start moving forward with training the pup. And once the pup's old enough, we'll bring him into the program. The big things that we're working on are the things that you need to have control of. You know, your public access and being able to maintain when you're out in a public environment so that we're not getting a dog that's, you know, the handler's got to be in control. And that's our ultimate goal. So we do a lot of public access. And then we also delve into some of the deep pressure therapy as well as give, not just for leashes, but also for medication bags. And some things like that. And then for the older dogs, the bigger sized dogs that have already kind of gotten through the access, we're looking at mobility now. Decker has kind of got to the point where I'm needing him to do more mobility things for me. I need him to brace and hold. I need him to be able to get me out of a chair by a pull. And you had a great conversation on your last program on a Sunday about, you know, the pulling of the cart, and some of those things look awkward to people. But for me, that's a huge advantage. I need to be able to teach Deck how to pull me because, man, sometimes that forward momentum is just hard to get going, and I've got to get my upper body has to work with legs that don't work so well anymore. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that we're teaching. We also look into, we've done something really, really non-traditional. We have a youth in our program that's on the spectrum, and autism spectrum. And
thank you.
Moving forward with him and with Harley, who's his dog. His parents are the actual handlers for the dog until Hayden is a bit old enough to start really getting the grasp of it and following through with it. Mm-hmm. But the relationship between Harley and Hayden is absolutely amazing. Hayden can be having his issues, and Harley is right there for him, snuggling, holding him, putting that pressure on him, letting the kid love on him and hang on to him. And it's a driving factor. You know, when you get to a point where you can see some of your handler team start coming around and being successful, those things are hugely important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, folks will go as far as with us as they can. And if they need a little bit more, if we get somebody that maybe, when I see somebody, a dog that may be a little reactive, well, we're working with that reactive dog with the behavioral specialist weekly one-on-one. Mm-hmm. and seeing if we can come around that side. And so far, it's been successful for us.
That's great. And you do have, as part of the organization, a trainer, a certified trainer, who is also a behavioralist, correct?
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about what that working with somebody with that kind of experience is like.
It's a unique perspective. You know, we use positive reinforcement and treat reinforcement. Praising, you know, is for Decker is the biggest thing that he could get. Mm-hmm. And again, I speak about Deck a lot because he is mine and I know our bond and our relationship. But to spend time, when we first started out with John has his own kennel. It's called Muck Creek Kennels out here in Roy. And to spend some time on a porch just sitting back and talking about the program and what we want to have happen. And how they could become, his wife and him could become involved in the program and do some things for us that we couldn't get done on our own. To include being able to provide an internship for two of our folks that'll directly end up going through the ABI school. ABI is an online behavioralist program, but it's an outstanding program. And there's an internship required with that, and we'll be able to do some of that stuff out at Muck Creek. To hear somebody talk about a dog from a behavioral aspect and what we're doing with them, how they see the world and how they respond to how they see the world is truly amazing. That one command and then blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I see that in Deck a lot. Tell them once and get them motivated and don't repeat the same thing to him 15 times because he's getting babbling.
It's I spent a little time working with a behavioralist, like I talked about on the live feed, and the perspective that a behavioralist can give you, it really is eye opening, and you start to learn more about what's going on in your dog's head, and I think that's really important for any handler
that they understand their dog to the best of their ability. And somebody who's been trained in that is definitely a good place to get some knowledge and share experience with.
You can kind of understand just a little bit better, too, those knowing glances that your dog is giving you. Mm-hmm. That over the shoulder, like, really, Dad?
Yeah.
Just what we're doing now? Some of those glances start making a lot of sense when you are with a behavioralist and they can see the dog working with you and go, yeah, this is what he's telling you, man. And this is what you got to always try to get up and on him and end on a positive note and keep him going forward, because he's really Deckard. And again, and because I want to speak about him, is just his head is extremely wired strong. And he knows what you want before you're going to do it, and he's going to make sure that you're okay for me. And then he can do this turnaround, do the same thing for the family, because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make sure we're all okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that he works for, you know, he tries to intervene and work for Carrie and the children just as much as he does for you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I have a son that's had some major concussion issues, and we ended up having to bring him in and homeschool him this past year. And some of his issues are emotional based and behavioral based due to the damage to the front of his head. Well, as soon as he starts up, Decker will go cue to it and cue to it and then come back to me to let me know that he's in another room and he's maybe not doing what he needs to, or he's having an issue, come take a look. Or with the baby, let the baby make a noise. Or we have a four-year-old, we call him the baby, but let him make some noise. And Decker is right there, making sure that we all know that Cotter's going to be okay with the hugs and the kisses. And yeah, it really is neat. You know, we initially got him, and y'all had talked to us about, you know, it's not an automaton. We don't make robots of these dogs. They need to be able to do what you need them to do and then turn around and go back and be with the family. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened with Deck and with the other dogs that came from the breed after that, are all in that same kind of headset of, you know, let's all take care of each other and watch out for what's going on. And now I know with Hayden's folks that he's responded to both the parents as well as one of the other children as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, they want to be right there and make sure we're all doing okay.
It's really amazing. Skeeter is working for my girlfriend when we're at home just as much as he's working for me. And when we do things like make trips to the grocery store, she's also a veteran with PTSD. Sometimes he'll look at me and give me a look like, you're okay, Dad, but Mom's having some trouble. And I have to hand over the leash, because he's telling me, look, I see you, you're good, but she needs me. And he goes and works with her. And that's, I think, fabulous. That's just incredible how he picked up on that on his own. He made the decision, look, Mom needs me too, you know?
And that's a unique part about that bond. You know, they're okay with that, and they can sense that other stuff happening, and they want to go. We have a couple that have some medical issues that are in line with each other, similar type medical conditions. And when one triggers, Roxy will go treat that one, and she'll turn right around and be ready for Dad, because knowing that they trigger off of each other, that they can, she needs to be watching both of them as much as just the handler. Denny, who's the actual handler, but just watching Mom just as easily.
It's important for people out there to understand, although Skeeter does double duty a lot of the time, the bottom line, when it all comes down to it, if both of us are having a PTSD moment, for lack of a better term, although Skeeter will work for either of us, he automatically comes to me, because I raised him, I trained him. He's been with me his whole life. But you know, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, a perfect example is a visit to the VA. I'm sitting in the waiting area, and a guy walks in and sits down, And Skeeter looks at me, and it's kind of like, Dad, I got to go. And I told him, okay. And he went over and put his head in this guy's lap. And this guy just, first of all, he kind of freaked out. He's like, is this okay? Can I pet him? And I said, he wants to say hi. And, you know, Skeeter spent about 5-6 minutes just kind of just being there for this vet. And I got called back to my appointment. So, of course, I had to pull him away. And the guy looked at me and he said, you know what? I was having a really bad day. I needed that. Thanks. And I said, don't thank me. I said that it was all him. He made that choice. Sometimes, you know, they pick up and because they're so empathetic, they pick up on the things and the people that are going on around you. And they say, look, I see you. You're in a good place. But this person needs my help.
Yeah, I think you're dead on target there. I think that that's part of the purpose is, you know, it's not just they look for that and that feeling, that chemical change. They're smelling that. They're feeling it. They're feeling the tension come off of somebody's body, and they want to be involved with that just as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, their natural response to that and the way that they've been worked with is to respond to that situation, you know, whether it's in you or whether it might be in somebody else. And again, that harkens back to, you know, the way they're trained and the way they're handled when they're young, that they're allowed to be able to go out and do that and have the freedom to say, you know, for you as a handler to be able to go, yeah, go ahead, man, go ahead. And give him the go ahead to act on his response or his natural instinct is huge.
Yeah, definitely. And that's again, you know, it takes an exceptional animal. You have to find the right dog with the right mindset and the right empathy. And that's not easy. And I've heard tales of people going through 3 or 4 dogs before they find the right dog. And I get that. I think both yours and my situation, and I bred Skeeter, and somehow the day he was born, I knew he was it. That's weird. But, you know, you had never met Decker.
No.
But I think you had a similar thing. You knew almost immediately this was the dog.
Oh, I did, you know, and we met in that park down there in Roseburg, and I had talked to the dog and petted him for 20-30 minutes, and the breeder walked back up, and Decker looked at him and raised his lip at him, and the director looked at me and said, I guess he's yours now. And, you know, the funny part about that is I did a program a year later, a Veterans Day program here in town, and that director had come up to speak, and that connection was still there. The connection of, you know, this individual uses a special petting technique behind, under the ear, mm-hmm. right there on the jawline, and just real soft and soft words to him. And Decker had been a little spooked by the bass drums. But that person was able to turn that around instantaneously, and that memory was still there, and is still how I treat him for his special pets, is right behind his ears and that backside. And it's neat to see that they carry those images and thoughts and feelings with them. You know, they're very emotional, dogs are.
Yeah, and I think people don't give dogs enough credit for their abilities when it comes to memory and cognition. But I'm sure you've seen in Decker, I've certainly seen in Skeeter, there are dogs that are intelligent enough to solve problems. Skeeter's a problem solver. And it's eerie sometimes how smart the dog is. And you don't necessarily give them credit for it.
All I have to say is grab a vest and say, we're going to work. Uh-huh. And it's over. It's over. He's a whole different character. He's on task. And it doesn't matter if I do it in the house mm-hmm. or if I do it because we're going out. He knows exactly what his job is when we're out in public or if we're in the car. Even then I start getting caught up in traffic, you know, I get that little nudge from the back floorboards, nudge my hand and be like, hey, Dad, settle down. Mm-hmm. Settle down. And those are things that we forget about, but those are the things, you know, in the live cast, we had talked about, you had mentioned triggers mm-hmm. and stressors and those things, you know, for me individually, I personally like the term stressors, and I like them because the finite of pulling a trigger, that finite action, you know, I make a decision with the help of my dog to stop those finite actions. Mm-hmm. Those things that were so detrimental to me, my fight or flight is damaged, so I want to stay and fight. Mm-hmm. Those things are so detrimental to me, that dog can look at me and say, that's it, we're done. And whether it's getting my attention through a pole, getting my attention by licking my hand, getting between me and a individual or me and a hard spot that I may lash out at. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had some pretty dark experiences over the last year where Decker was there. He was involved in those circumstances and was able to be that player in that moment to say, no, never mind anything else in my world that was going on. That dog was the point of focus when I said, you're going to do this or you're not. And I said, well, what's going to happen to him? Mm-hmm. Where does he go if I do what I want to do and hurt somebody? And then, you know, where's he end up? It's not fair to him. Yeah, so then I slowed down for just that moment, and I started talking to the doctor, and they put the wheels in motion. But he was that force for me. Just as importantly as seeing my family in the hospital last summer, it was just as important when they brought the dog to me. And, you know, we've got some really great receptive folks out here. You know, he was allowed to come up and see me. We had to stay in my room. But he could come up, and as long as my wife was handling him, he was allowed to stay as long as they stayed. It was very, very cool. When they could have said, no, it's not going to happen, sir. You know, you're already in mental distress. Let me make it harder for you. They were directly on the opposite of that, saying, no, 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 whatever. He can sit with you in the ER the whole day. He can go with you to the hospital, get you checked in, and then, you know, we'll get a program where he comes up at least every day for you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a unique situation.
Yeah. We'll be right back with more of the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog after this quick break. You're listening to DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
I'm Dave Libby of WarriorService.org and SoserBand.com, and this is Contraband.
The Up in Arms Podcast.
Welcome to Media Letter Sandwich.
You're listening to Barracks Talk on DV Radio.
Welcome to Disgruntled Discussions.
You're listening to
The Marquee.
Woo!
Dirty Third.
Welcome to the Struggle Brothers Show, everybody. I am Ron Ripley. With me, as always, is Mr. Filthy Rich.
Hello, and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai.
Hear are all of these veteran-made shows on DVRadio.net. From original to syndicated shows, they're all on the DV Radio Network. Don't forget to check out the schedule banner to find out when your favorite show is airing. Again, that's DVRadio.net. And don't forget to search DV Radio on the TuneIn app on your mobile device.
DV Radio.
My DVStore.com, Ben Wilkin with Adam 6976. Can I get stickers?
Nope.
I got to get over your country decaf. Get over your country decaf. Who here a t-shirt? Anyone with a t-shirt?
Nope.
Let me get a picnic. God, I'm crazy about some t-shirt.
Nope.
Now I got a mug, DV mugs. I got mugs. Let me hear DV farm coins with DV coins. DV farm coins with DV coins. Gone once. Sold by DVStore.com.
DB Radio is for our fellow brothers and sisters, and it's all free of charge for our listeners, our guests, and even those that have shows right here on DVRadio.net. We do everything in-house, from mixing and recording ads and shows to the website and all that you get from us. We love promoting veteran-owned businesses and highlighting those in the veteran community. So if you would like to continue to hear what we bring to you and have even more in the future with the best quality that we can possibly bring to you, please head over to DVRadio.net and click that PayPal donation button. Any amount is welcome, from $1 to $100 million that your uncle lets you in his trust fund. So please head over to DVRadio.net and click that PayPal donation button right now. Oh, ah.
Radio. Changing dirty diapers in the men's room. Scaring monsters from under the bed. Making sure you've done your homework. And teaching you how to hit a home run. Here's to you, Dad.
You're listening to WDVR on DVRadio.net.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I am your host, Joaquin Watai. You know, the Service Dog Show isn't the only show available on DV Radio. There are podcasts and broadcasts throughout the week. One I'd recommend you check out is The Struggle Brothers. It is syndicated only on DVRadio.net. Listen to their podcast on Podbean. Search for The Struggle Brothers. And you can visit their website at strugglebrothers.com. You are listening to DV Radio, WDVR, and I'm here with Mike Novak, one of the founders of Pause for Our Patriots. I'm sorry, I'm messing up the name. What is it?
Pause for Our Patriots.
Good Pause morning, for Our Lucky. Patriots. Okay, I did have it. Okay. I you know, brain fart, you know how that goes. we were talking a little bit during the break, the bond, the working with the dogs. You're now working with rescues to find dogs to pair with veterans to train as service dogs. Tell me a little about how that's going.
Well, it's so far it's working well for us. We have two reactive dogs that came through, and like I said, they're working specifically with the trainer now. And when I say reactive, they're either bark reactive or reactive when they're on a leash to other people around the handler. Some of these things don't develop until after they're already working with the handler. And they come to a class and maybe all of a sudden they're reactive. So these are some of the things we work around. You know, you can't just take a dog back to a pound and say, hey, let me give you your rescue dog back because he's going to take some work. Technically, could I do that with them? Yeah, I could. But the point of the bond has already started forming. The reason that dog is being reactive can be as simple as it was a street dog and fought for everything it had for 9 months. And now it's got a loving, caring person that it wants to make sure that nobody gets within a leash distance of. But for us, we don't have a lot of that. We go through a startle process, and what we're looking for as far as younger dogs and an older dog and what their response is in the foster family where they're at. If we can get a feel for young kids, older kids, animals, cats, we've seen animals that were great with everybody except for chickens. Doesn't like chickens. Doesn't like farm animals. And, you know, those are the things that we'll typically work around and work with. Some of the stuff you got to talk to folks about, though, is, you know, what they're getting into. You know, this isn't some little lightly taken prospect here. This is a big adventure. And one, you know, you're taking responsibility for an animal's life that if something goes wrong with you or the bond or it's not working, that we as Paws want to be able to step forward and have first rights back to that dog so that that dog will go to a placement for another vet or into the foster system so we know that it's not going to end up at a kill shelter. The difference with rescues, I think what you find is you find a dog that is needing some love and you're finding a dog that's needing that home. And two lives for the price of one is what I like to say. And it takes a little bit more work and a little bit more bonding, especially if that rescue's been through three or four fosters or failed adoptions. Then, you know, what is everybody doing wrong? What are we missing that, or what is everybody missing that we see, and how are we going to circumnavigate that with this pup? And again, working well for us, it gives us a speedier adoption time. So, you know, within the time we're contacted and somebody is in our area and they're interested in what we're doing and they want to come see a class, then, for instance, I got three folks coming in tonight to watch us work public access in a mall setting at the food court. And for those folks to come in and see that, we're also going to have a conversation about what's your home life look like. You know, do you have small kids? Do you have a cat? Do you have, are you on a farm? You know, what's your situation like? And explaining the importance that, you know, the worst thing you can do with a service dog is put it in its kennel for the majority of its day. Mm-hmm. There's circumstances at vets and things like that, you know, if it's getting vet care or that it just happens. You know, you're in the car and you're riding, at least he's still with you and, you know, he's keeping. I like to say it like this. I have some medications that I will never be rid of. Those medications do me no good if I leave them in the medicine cabinet. Mm-hmm. And my dog is the same way. If I'm going to leave that dog in its kennel, how can I expect that dog to do anything other than be a running hot mess when he comes out of that kennel because he's been cooped up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, the things that it looks like, you know, is your employer going to be able to do reasonable accommodation for you? Do you even have a job that's safe to have a dog at? Mm-hmm. You know, you need to really consider a few of these things. And we walk folks through that prior to a placement. And then again, it takes us about 2 weeks from the time we're notified to be able to do a proper placement after seeing what's available, mm-hmm. And working with that.
Yeah, I think it's important. One of the things that I try to stress both in the book, PTS Dog, on my Facebook page and on the show is that the decision to use a service dog as part of your treatment is an important decision because you're going to change your whole life. It just the same as if you had amputated your leg and you have a prosthetic on that leg. You're not going to leave the house without that prosthetic.
Yep.
Because you can walk with it on. And if you don't have it on, then you can't walk. You're in a wheelchair. Well, the service dog's the same way. The service dog, if you have a disability that is severe enough that you need the assistance of a service dog, then you need to plan that service dog is going to be with you 24/7. Obviously, if you're going in for surgery, things like that, there are going to be small exceptions. But you have to change your whole life in order to use a service dog. And that's part of, especially with a PTSD service dog, that's part of the healing process, is those changes that you have to make in your life in order to use the dog, work with the dog, train the dog. And in a lot of ways, it returns some of the structure for veterans that they miss from having in the military.
You know, some of the, you talk about immersion therapy and, you know, for me going into places was really, really tough. And coming back out of that was, you know, you immerse yourself, you do a little bit at a time, you park in Walmart's parking lot. Oops, I'm sorry. You park in that big lot parking lot and you step a little closer every day, or you park a little closer every day. I could bypass a lot of that just by making sure I had my medical device with me, which is 100-plus-pound big old dog. And he looks at me and said, I got you. I got your back. And nothing's more reassuring to me to this day than to be in a line at Walmart. Well, there you go, big box store. Mm-hmm. And then you sit there, and he turns around right away and just docilely sits there. and just make sure that nobody's going to walk up on me. And if they do, he gives me a little nudge. Mm-hmm. That's just so comforting to me, and it makes a world of difference. I can't imagine a life without him here for me to do those little mundane things. Would it be easier sometimes to just hop in the car and go? Yeah. Would it be easier maybe not to get stared at so much? Yeah. But is it practical for me to do those two things? No. Because I'll end up more wound up. I'd rather have a brief description of, yeah, this is a service dog, and, you know, give him a description of who Decker is and what his breed is and move on down the aisle. And that's forcing me to interact positively. And it's changing my world in a way that I can't do myself. So it is a big deal that, you know, you got to have them with you. It's got to make them happen. You got to have that environment where you can do that. You know, if the best way to hear it is to play it out to somebody and let them go, well, I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you might need to think of that because your family vacations are going to change due to the airlines. I'm going to drive where I'm going just because I don't want to deal with that hassle.
No kidding.
Wow. Okay.
It's getting ridiculous.
Tampa, my dog just had puppies in the airport. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at some of that stuff and you think, do I want to enter into that realm? And that's not really a proper question. It's more of, I am in that realm and I need this animal to be here to help me get through those things.
Yes, yes. You said something that I think it's really important. You said that he helps you to do those things that you would be unable to do without him. And that's, I think, a key, and that's actually in the wording of the section about service dogs in the ADA, that the dog is trained to perform tasks to assist a disabled person, and these are things that the person would be unable to accomplish without the dog's assistance.
Sure.
And that's with PTSD service dogs, I think it's really important to understand that you and I, we couldn't go shopping at Walmart before we had our dogs. It wasn't a matter of it was scary or we had anxiety. It was a matter of if we did, we either ended up running out or punching someone.
Exactly.
Know? We can't, you know, if your head's on a swivel at all times and you're keyed up, the littlest thing sets you off. You're right on the edge of fight or flight. One thing pushes you over and your brain tells you you're in a battle for survival. And
how many times, you know, before Skeeter, did you leave a cart and just walk out?
Let me tell you, full cart. And I just said, that's it, enough, I'm done. Walked out, got in a truck, left. Got home, where are the groceries? Couldn't do it. I can't believe you, rah, 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 you know. Yeah.
And at that point, did you, you know, the chemical change that happens with TBI and with PTSD in your system, those chemical changes that have happened to you, did you, you know, at the time some of that stuff was happening to me, I had no indication mm-hmm. of that's what that was until I sought out some therapy and got a good doc that was like, yeah, you got some issues. Mm-hmm. But the bigger issue was just that, you know, if I'd have known that 20 years ago, what would have been different? But reality is I didn't. Now I do, and it's happening. I'm doing things, and I'm positive, and I'm upbeat. And it took somebody that was pretty low and got pretty dark before it was able to come back around, and now I can see that smile, and other people see that smile. And other people hear that laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big deal. That's better than the chemicals I'm on. Yeah. That's better than all the medications that I was on prior to this. Mm-hmm. And that's due to my interaction with my medical device.
Yeah, yeah.
He is my medical advice.
I don't know if you heard the interview I did with Bill Austin, the handler of the Great Dane who had the incident in the restaurant. He said when he first had his service dog, JP, he was fostering the dog to go to another veteran. And I can't remember circumstances, but it didn't work out. And he was talking to his wife about, well, what are we going to do about this dog? And she looked at him and said, Bill, you don't understand. This is the first time you've smiled in years. You know? And that's just it. I don't know how to explain to people that connection that you build with your PTS dog. That bond returns something to you that you can't find otherwise.
Oh, it does. And it gets me to a...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It gets me to a place where I thought I'd never be again. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking and I'm upbeat and I've got something that I can, that I'm doing in my life that is upbeat for other veterans. You know, it's not what I can do for myself today. It's what I can do for my warfighter family. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. It's for those vets, because my event and the things that we do for those events, they're great. They raise funds for us. But what it also does is put us out near the post talking, where I can say, hey, it may not be you, but it may be your friend. It may be someone your friend knows. Take a card, take our information, get it out to them. Have them give me a call. Come check us out. Why would you not do that if it's no cost to the vet? It's a program that might work for them, and give them another tool in the tool basket. Give us a shot.
Yeah.
Give us a shot. And if they're ready for it, it'll fit. And if not, we'll be able to probably let them know that's probably not a real good fit right now for them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing that I think it's important people understand. PTSD service dog is not a cure. It's not a magic pill. It does change your life completely. And that is huge. That is a huge benefit. But one of the drawbacks of using a PTSD service dog is it does change your life completely. And people aren't ready. They don't understand that. And sometimes that change is overwhelming.
And it's bizarre things, you know, like Decker, when we go somewhere and we're not actively working him, like my wife had some business on the other side of the state, so we had drone over so that she could go to her classes, and we were at a hotel, and it's great in the hotel, fabulous, but didn't want to be left in the hotel alone. Mm-hmm. Would wanted to be left in the car alone, because he knew he wouldn't get left behind, and was totally fine in the car. But you know what? You got to mix that balance, and you got to park where you can see the dog, and you got to make sure that he's watching you. And you know, instead of just the three kids I'm trying to watch through the course of the day, I need to make sure that the best stuff is happening for him as well.
Yeah.
And the best stuff is, you know, okay, we got to take him out and he's got to go get his adventure in, and then we can come back and then do more pool time then. And it really, the things that drive me to not leave and become isolative can't happen now, because I got to get up and I got to take care of this guy, and he's got to go. And that means I got to be up for the kids. And then he's going to want to play with the kids before school. But those little things that it was so easy not to do anymore become, it's just automatic. I can't say no, boys. He's been in the room. He's got to go. He's been in his little sleep cave. He wants to come out and use the restroom too.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you're doing stuff.
You know, I don't know if you heard the part on the live stream I did the other day. At one point in time, before Skeeter, my whole motivation was just to get up and take my zombie pills.
Yeah.
You know? And now I get up because Skeeter needs me.
Yeah.
You know, he can't let himself out to go pee. So I've got to go out and take care of it. And
just... imagine that. Imagine your last 2 years and think about, you know, getting ready for the book and then doing the cross-country road trips and think about any of that stuff without Skeeter being there.
I couldn't have done any of it. I wouldn't have done any of it. I wouldn't have the mission that I have to write the book and to work with vets and help my brothers and sisters if it hadn't been for that little puppy.
Yeah.
In fact, the dedication to the book says it's for Skeeter. The puppy saved my life. The dog gave me a mission. And that's, that's absolutely great. True. That's absolutely the truth. Skeeter saved my life when he was a baby. It became time to get up to take care of my puppy rather than get up because I have to take my pills. And yep. as we've grown and learned together over the last 7 years, the PTS dog mission has developed. And the ultimate goal, you and I have talked about this, my ultimate goal is to open the first service dog boot camp. That's where PTS dog is heading. And hopefully
or,
a chain of them. You know?
We're fighting hard up here. We're fighting hard. And I think that, you know, our next step is that process where we can finally get a commitment on some land and some space. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, it really is. Once it's kind of like once you get a taste for it and you see what it can do for you, it really makes you want to work that much harder and show everybody else what it could be.
Yeah. The moment when that veteran who you've been working with or helping gets it, they understand, you see that light start to brighten up in their eyes again. You
yep.
know, that moment, it's a small triumph. But man, it feels good to get that triumph, to say, yes, yes, it's working.
We're
moving forward. We're growing. That, yeah.
The first time that the dog keys on them.
Mm-hmm. And they understand what the dog's doing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It. You know,
PTC is great.
I was at the store the other day with Skeeter, of course. Don't go anywhere without him. And, ran into an Army vet, and I felt for this brother. You could see the pain in his eyes. You could see the burden he was carrying. And he said, what do I do? How do I get a service dog? I don't know anything about this. And it was, you know, it was hot. It was a situation where we both had places to be. I gave him my card and said, look, hit me up, email me, contact the page. I'll try to put you together. There's a couple of good organizations out here. I'll try to put you together. Someone will start getting you some help. And it just, that was encouraging to me to see that just that little interaction for less than 10 minutes could be encouraging to him because you could see that he was carrying the globe on his shoulders, you know, and it just, and that's the one thing I always try to make sure I tell a brother when I'm talking with him about service dogs is listen, you're not alone. And when you get your service dog, you never have to be alone again.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really changes the aspect about how we see the world and how we function. And,
yeah.
You know, part of my discussions when I'm doing these bigger events is 22 of my brothers and sisters decided that today was not going to be a good day for them.
Mm-hmm.
If I can place 22 dogs a year, that's my contribution into stopping that. And
yeah.
Our big push is that, and it will continue to be that, is 22 and at least 22. And if we can get double that in the following years, you know, it looks like we'll probably be able to do 40 by our third year. And we're not charging them a dime. I don't charge an individual anything for the dog. And the reason being is, we don't want to be the ones that are charging you and we'll do fundraising. And if you can agree to help with some fundraising and handing out flyers, then I don't need to charge you for a dog. And we've got agreements with some shelters that keep our costs, you know, pretty affordable to us. And then the training is free as well. So, you know, that having to wait months and months and months to a year and pay several thousand dollars out, just didn't seem to to sit right with us. And so far, it's working for us. Now, do I have somebody that comes in and says, hey, man, I got this Belgian Tavern puppy or this Malinois, and, you know, I want to buy it. Okay, well, here's the deal. I won't buy your Malinois for you, but I will help you with what I would pay for a rescue on that. Mm-hmm. And we could get you together and get you in the class, but you're going to need to know the balance. And it brings me to the point of, I mean, some folks, that's all they want is a German Shepherd, you know, and that's the breed they love. And that's okay. If you understand that, I'm not going to go find you a kennel born $1,300 dog, but a lot of these kennels have pet dogs that aren't show quality that really will work with an individual or with an agency and help get some pricing down. And, you know, we got to put this industry on its ears, and we're only going to do that by helping each other out. Yeah. And just because I operate differently than what you operate doesn't mean that we don't have information to share with each other and make it stronger.
Absolutely. The goal is to help save veteran lives. Bottom line.
Yep.
How you do it, as long as it's within the law, it's your business. You know?
Exactly. And you know what? And if you're making it your way, that's great. You know, and I want you to win, because the more you win, there's some local folks in town. Yep.
The more veterans.
And they are
win.
Doing well.
Yeah.
And that's the end deal. It's a lot more people than we could have stopped if we weren't doing it.
Yep. Absolutely. Mike, thank you so much for joining me. How can people find Paws for Our Patriots?
We are up on Facebook, and that's going to be your facebook.com/pause4ourpatriots, or at www.pause4ourpatriots.org is the website. And any questions, feel free to reach out, even if you're not in our area. We know some folks that are around the country, so if you're looking, reach out to us and see if we can't pair you up with somebody or refer you out to somebody that can give you a hand in the process. And it's all about helping each other out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me. You have been listening to The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR.